NKST Mission Retreat Media presents the gospel, God's power to save all who believe. This message was delivered by Reverend Dr. Frederick Lanshima Khan at the NKST Mission Retreat National Conference 2020 on the theme, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. May God bless these words on your heart in Jesus' name.
Message 2.
Let us bow our hearts together and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this grand privilege to yet abide in your presence from the morning. We thank you, Father, for the things you have chosen to do, not even because we asked you or did request of you to do them, but in your wisdom, which surpasses the wisdom of men, your counsels of old, which the Bible says are faithful and true. Based on them, you have chosen to do in our time the things you are doing. Our Father, we thank you because we have gathered again at your feet this evening. We can never receive enough. And we know that you also will never be tired of releasing unto your people that which will drive their lives. So, Father, in this moment again, we ask, O Lord, that you usher us into your very divine presence, that divine things may become our portion, that we will be able to rise at your bidding to do your will and to do that which you have always wanted man to do. In our failings, in our shortcomings, whatever the situations of our hearts, Lord, this evening, tonight, Lord, we look up to you not only for grace, but we look up to you for proper motivation. Father, if there be any kind of confusion or some kind of opinion that have held sway over our hearts over the years that have become like drawbacks, tonight, Lord, you clear the way. You usher us, O Father, unto greater things, much more than we have ever known before. Hear our prayer and advance us in your cause, that your words will hit the ears of men, yet not as though coming from a man, but are coming from your very divine presence to do and accomplish in our lives what no man can do. May the blood of your Son Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago avail even for us again this evening, that it might be well with us in your presence. Hear our prayer. Lead us on, not only to the end of this session, but to the very end of your purpose for humanity. This is our prayer, Lord, with thanksgiving, and in Jesus' name, amen. May I again invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I'm sure you're already familiar with that passage by now. John chapter 9. I trust that all of you are there already, and I'll commence reading. And I will begin from verse 2 today. Now the Bible says, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can walk. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Verse 10. How then were your eyes opened? They demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now? Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner, he replied. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. May the Lord indeed grant blessings to this word by the mercies of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, I will not want to bore you with a summary of what happened yesterday, what we talked about yesterday. We do not have the luxury of time to begin to do that. So I would rather go very straight into what we have today. And if you remember, I told you that today we shall be looking at hindrances to the work. Jesus had said, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. And this has been our concern in this conference. We attempted yesterday to establish in part what the work is. But I said that the Bible study dealt with that sufficiently. So I didn't need to repeat all that again. But today in the course of our talk, I will reflect a bit on the work again in another dimension. But our concern really would be hindrances to this work. I know that at the end of conferences like this, people rise up with resolutions. People rise up with the spirit of start. They rise up with zeal. They go out energized and they want to do it. I think it is proper that we look at hindrances to the work, and the hindrances abound and they are all around us. So today we shall focus on the unfolding events around
or connected with the passing of Jesus through this city, as we talked about yesterday. Yesterday we finished with verse 1. So today I'm going to start from verse 2. And verse 2 says, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I want us to observe that it was the disciples who asked this question and not the Jews or the Pharisees or the neighbors or people in that era. The disciples who had followed Jesus for a while, who had come into a different worldview, who had entered into a new understanding of issues of faith and of reality. But at the instance of this blind man, I find these disciples, followers of Jesus, falling back again to the common opinions and philosophies of their time. Common opinions. Do you know that for every generation there are common opinions? And those opinions usually exercise very strong influence over society generally, including believers. Before I proceed, let me mention one common opinion of our time so that you understand precisely what we are talking about. One common opinion of our time is that there are other people who are not Christians, whatever name you choose to call them, and they are in large number. Do you mean to say that they are not going to heaven but going to hell? So a lot of people imagine that because of the number of those other people that are outside of the fold of Christianity, it may not be necessarily true, after all, that Christianity is the only way. Let me mention a second opinion that was advanced by a high-ranking pastor somewhere, I think in Lagos. The man is a popular preacher in Nigeria. He said he has come to establish that elections in Nigeria are never really held. It is a question of survival of the fittest. So if Christians go into the arena of politics, they should do it the way the unbelievers do it. After all, it's a matter of getting what you want. When you get it, you can now begin to advance Christian principles. These are opinions that are trending, if I may say. One common opinion, which has been around us for a long time, is that when you can't beat them, what do you do? When you go to Rome, what do you do? I want to say to you that these are common opinions, and they have occupied a place in the hearts of many people. That at the peak of the manifestation of the power of God in a man's life, sometimes you find one of these common opinions manifesting. So it is not a surprise, therefore, that at the instance of the encounter of a blind man with Jesus, the disciples, followers of Jesus, now had to fall back to one of those common opinions. And what was this opinion? It was the belief among the Jews that the principle of cause and effect was a necessary and logical explanation to the events of unfortunate experience. What does this mean? For the Jews, if any man was born blind or became blind in the course of life, or deaf, or withered hand, or something, they believed it was because of a particular sin somewhere, either by the person himself or by the parents. But you see, what the disciples saw was a different thing. What Jesus saw was a different thing. So this question proceeded from common popular opinion of society. Now, let me mention one that is very popular amongst church people. And I've heard young people in church defend it. Some of us are not yet old. In my early 50s, anyway, for your information, Wednesday was my birthday. The day the conference was going to begin. It did coincide with my birthday. In my early 50s, I look back a bit, just a little behind, and I discover that what I'm seeing today is not the same thing with what some of us came to meet only a while ago. How that before my very eyes, there has been this wonderful, permit me to call it transformation, but a negative one. How that society has been so influenced that the concept of courtship has so changed in our days to something that is unimaginable. In our days, just a little while, just 20, 25, 30 years ago, it was not the custom that if a young man and a young woman are in courtship, they may necessarily be seen in public places together or frequent visit in their homes. You know that idea has long been cast away. Long been cast away. And young Christians of our time find it very odd, very strange when counsels like this come forth. Common opinions of the time, they have a tendency to influence even the work of God. They have a tendency to even spoil it altogether. This question that these people ask has the tendency to complicate the situation and to hinder Jesus from doing what he was set to do. And of course, common opinions can also be injurious to matters of eternity. And I note again, it was not the Jews arguing, but the disciples. Well, maybe arguments sometimes are healthy. But I want you to know that this matter was not just a simple matter, because at the end of this question, if Jesus had confirmed that it was the sin of this man, the result would have been different. At the end of it, the disciples were wondering, doesn't this man qualify to die? Because by Jewish standards, the man sinned, so he was being punished. There was no need to have mercy or pity or something. If it was his sin, the man ought to die and not to experience compassion. Well, the disciples saw it differently, and Jesus also saw opportunity to walk, while his disciples saw law and vengeance. Let me mention briefly the issue of walk before I continue this argument, because some of these things are just joined together, but at an appropriate time I'll separate them so that we'll understand them in themselves. Let me go back and ask, what really is the walk that we're talking about? Because we find it expressing itself in this scripture, as Jesus himself demonstrated. I'm sure all of you are familiar with Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. But for the avoidance of doubt, I want us to read it so as to refresh our memory and put the matter in a proper perspective and focus. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The summary of that passage is that God created man in his own likeness and image, meaning that man was complete physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. Yesterday I said some of the physical ailments or appearances of things are a reflection of what goes on spiritually. And here we're talking about a blind man. In other words, sin dealt with that completeness, that wholeness, in which God created man. That completeness was distorted spiritually. And hence, these diverse manifestations in terms of blindness or deafness or leprosy or any one of those things. So what then is the work? Jesus came therefore that man may be represented back to God complete. And wherever there is a defect, Jesus recognized it as an opportunity for work. And what is the work? Restoration. And here was a case of a blind man in need of sight in order to be restored. And the disciples were bringing up tradition. They were bringing up opinions, common tendencies of the times. So Jesus saw it differently. Of course, wherever there was something missing, Jesus would supply it. The blind man gave occasion for Jesus to give sight because God created man with complete sight, full sight, that man could see and see and see. But here was a distorted case. So Jesus said, having responded to their question, he said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. I must bring a restoration to this man. I must bring completeness. Holistic nature must be restored to this man, so that he can be reconnected again. Sometimes it's not just blindness. Do you know that even the lives of men and women, where Jesus is yet to reign, there are also faulty lives that require to be worked on and worked upon for restoration. And let me also assure you, part of what we said yesterday, if there is anything that is wanting in your life, anything that is missing, there is room for Christ to walk in your life. I'm saying this because sometimes we may imagine some bogus, big attitude or activity for work. Today we're advancing this concept of work to say that wherever there is a defect in the life of a man who was created in the image of God, it becomes opportunity for work. And this is what Jesus was saying. I must do the work. The disciples saw it differently. What Jesus also saw was different. He looked at it from the eyes of eternity and saw that this is not what God created. Traditions and cultures may help explain things away, but the way God looks at them may be different. The blind man's situation required a divine intervention. Divine intervention. The disciples were helpless. They couldn't do it. Divine intervention. And Jesus did something. It leads us to understand that God can not only create, he can also illuminate. So it is not enough that God created man complete. He has the capacity to illuminate where there is dark confusion, made manifest in blindness or deafness or whatever the situation. My dear brothers and sisters, the work that we are talking about, I don't want us to make a mistake about it. Let's not imagine it to be just mere activity. It is more than that. The work of God is the occasion for the divine intervention of God in his creation. It is the occasion And I want you to hear this well. The work of God is the occasion for the divine intervention of God in his creation. It is an occasion so that God can intervene. It is not limited to what we will just do. Sometimes it may be that God wants to use us as a platform to intervene in situations or matters around us. And this is what the occasion of the blind man provided. This blindness, Jesus said, it happened so that the work of God might be displayed. It didn't happen just so that I'll open his eyes. No. But that the work of God might be displayed. We learn from this that works of God are those things that reveal the glory of God. They may require an attitude or a comportment of life that brings about glory to God. They may not necessarily consist of going to far, far places to talk about Jesus. They may be local. They may even be in church. I read the story of an elderly man and a young man at a certain occasion where both were required to recite Psalms 23. The elderly man in about 84, 85 years walked to the stage with a walking stick and had to lean his chin on that walking stick and began to recite Psalms 23. But of course, this was after the young man had recited it with refined language, with articulate expressions, with skillful tendencies. As we say, Queen's English. The congregation was mesmerized. At the end of that recitation, some were clapping, some were hissing, some were shouting, all manner of ovations. But when the elderly man, 84, 85 years, looking weak, looking helpless, looking out of place, rested, you know, his chin on the walking stick and recited Psalms 23, at the end of it, some people bowed down their heads and began to pray. At the end of the exercise, the young man walked up to him. Baba, teach me to recite Psalms 23. What was the difference? The same son. So sometimes it could be local. You may not need to go international yet. We must look at this again. The works of God are the occasion for the divine intervention of God in his creation. Remember when Jesus did one certain miracle in John chapter 2. Remember the turning of water into wine. The Bible says his disciples believed in him the more. Glory went to Jesus, to God in heaven. So it is the occasion by which God intervenes. If our lives do not provide this occasion, it is work in futility. All our work will become rubbish. There might be great things in the eyes of men. Our lives must therefore provide that opportunity. And you know, some of you are civil servants. Some of you are business people. Some of you are retirees. Some of you are politicians. Or you may belong to whatever category. Do you know that your faithfulness in that which you are doing can be a manifestation of the faithfulness of God? Your approach to things, the way you do things, can send signals to other people around that there is this, the way, the attitude of this young man or this girl tells us there is something. You know that even simple punctuality. I recall the story of my friend just close by, who used to go to work 8 o'clock. He signed the time book. That fateful day, he got there at 8:30. And he wrote 8:30. The ogre of the place came at 9 o'clock and wrote 8 o'clock. And behold, he saw 8:30. So how can 8 o'clock come again after 8:30? So he didn't like what he saw, but he kept quiet. The matter repeated itself. This time, this same young man came at 9 o'clock and he wrote 9 a.m. because he had a challenge with his car where he went to drop his children in school. And as usual, Oga came 2 hours after that and still wrote 8 o'clock. And behold, again he checked, it was this same young man writing on. He summoned, wrote 9 o'clock, he summoned the meeting and said, "Well, yeah, all of us are brothers and sisters. Let us let our work be an encouragement to others. Let us not set others up. Let us be walking in such a way that some will not find it too difficult to walk." He didn't know where the discussion was heading to. And the young man raised his hand, "Sir, I know it's me you are talking about." He said, "No, did I mention your name?" He said, "But I know." And the young man said, "Well, sir, I'm a Christian." And the ogre caught him. "Is there anybody who is not a Christian here?" And the young man went on, "Sir, I'm not talking about just Christian. I'm not talking about church going. I'm talking about a practical demonstration of Christianity in my life." And the young man made a commitment. He said, "I will do my best to come to work 8 o'clock. But if for any compelling circumstance I'm unable to do that, I will still write down the exact time I report to work." And Oga said, "Well, it's not as if I want to antagonize you, but I just need to try so that, all of us are brothers and sisters. God has joined us together." And the young man said, "And that is why we need to maintain standards." My dear brothers and sisters, do you know that mere punctuality can set you apart and provide an opportunity for God to begin to manifest? I have found this deceitful practice amongst church people. Imagine that you as a Christian, you go to work 9:30 and you are not ashamed to put down 8 o'clock. And you know you went late. How can you talk about Jesus? Won't your mouth be shut? And remember, that is one of the traditions of the time. Popular opinions. This is office. You don't need to be too spiritual. Of course, God keeps his word and on time. Do you remember when the angels, those visitors, came to Abraham? This time next year, Sarah would be with child. Didn't it happen? So God keeps time, keeps his promises. When he makes a promise, a commitment, he sticks to it. You know that your patience under provocative circumstances can also reveal God in his long suffering because he's slow to anger. Your patience under extreme provocations. When I read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 2 weeks ago, I was surprised at what happened to Hannah. Hannah had no child, and the Bible says it was God that caused her not to have a child. That's what the Bible says. Meanwhile, Penina, the other wife, used to provoke her. And as I read on, I observed that Penina provoked Hannah even in the temple during worship. Provocations followed Hannah, not just to the doorstep of the temple, but right inside, in the course of the goings on in the temple. And the Bible says this happened year after year. So how long was it? The Bible does not define it, but year after year. All that Hannah was doing, she kept quiet. She decided to go back to God. She knew it was not a man that was responsible. But I found another example in the life of Rachel, Genesis 29:30 onwards. Rachel discovered she was barren. Rather than resort to God, she went and grabbed her husband. "Give me children or I die." And the man asked, "Am I responsible for this?" What followed? "Okay, tell my servant, take this girl, take this girl." Of course, we are in for it today. All of you know the story. Your patience under provocative circumstances will reveal God in his long suffering, because he's slow to anger. And I say to you that this work we are talking about does not exclude any realm of human existence. Could it be church life, business life, life in politics, life in civil service, in the market, on the streets, wherever you find yourself? I have observed that it's like Christians have limited their practicing of Christianity to church halls. Singing can be very beautiful, can be so motivating, but only in church. I heard the story of a friend of mine who got to office that fateful day and invited the others to come for prayer. It was one church member, NKS team member, incidentally, that, you know, just did her hand like this. "This is not church. This is not church. If you want to pray, go to church. This is office." And I was wondering, you mean in our own system, church is limited to this hall? And this is one of the common notions of our times. The level of consciousness of the presence of God is more here in this hall, but not out there. And it tells you that there is something wrong. And all of what I have told you is what the tradition arising from the question of the disciples was going to render useless. And this explains why Jesus became vehement and said, "I must." This is what invited the vehemence. This tradition has become too strong that even followers of Jesus have become so influenced. See the way our brothers and sisters dress to church today. Went for a wedding somewhere recently, one of the Pentecostal churches. I was the one conducting. I stood in front and I was nearly staring elsewhere rather than look at the people in front of me. Because the dressing was so horrible. They attended another wedding elsewhere. What I saw, I'm sorry if I use terms that appear derogatory. I do not intend that. Looking at those young men and women, if that I didn't see them in church and met them on the streets, I would have mistaken them for prostitutes. And I'm very sincere. Many times when I go to church during offerings, I watch as people come to the front. I look at certain dressings and I begin to wonder, where are these coming from? I became so concerned about this at one time at Mka. Coming from Boko to Mka back to the university, I met one of the young ladies by the roadside and picked her up. And we kept talking. And when I expressed this concern, she said, "Pastor, it's like you are not aware." I said, "What is it?" That even she and a few others became concerned and so burdened that they came together to discuss the matter. They went to the market consciously one day to see if they could find styles other than miniskirts. In fact, she told me that there was a particular era where there were no skirts below the knees in the market. I don't know how true. And I asked her, so what are you doing about it? He said it became a thing of concern. They were praying that wherever this thing is coming from, the Lord should attack it at the source. They are sisters who have to buy dresses in the market, take them to the tailors, you know, in order that they work upon them and give them some kind of allowance, you know, extend it a bit. That is the tradition of our time. And any time that the work of God is going to manifest, traditions will come and attack it. I've seen the life of a young man that is zealous, that is concerned, that is committed. You see them emerge with some kind of hairstyles someday, and you begin to wonder, where did they get this one from? I know that for you women, you recall that sometimes in the 80s and 90s, there was this particular way of dressing that received a name. Now, up to today, you know, in the university, as chaplain, I'll call young ladies, what kind of dressing? He said, Daddy, well, we don't want to dress deeper life. We don't want to dress deeper life. I said, for me, that is a commendation. For me, it is commendation. Because the people had you know, evolved their own style of dressing, society took note of it. I'm sure that what I'm talking about may not necessarily be appealing to every ear. But what do I mean? The works that we're talking about that we must do are not limited to traveling far places in order to carry the name of Jesus. They may do, our very selves, our appearance, may provide the platform for that work. Remember what I said. That the work of God is the occasion for the divine intervention of God in His creation. Let us look at verse 10, the second issue. I'll mention the verses so that we can pick out the words. There is one word that has occurred about 5 times. The word is found first of all in verse 10. In my version, it says, how then were your eyes opened? Verse 15, therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Verse 19, the last part, is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Verse 20, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. Sorry, verse 21, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Can you see the number of how? And the last one is in verse 26. They asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Why are these how coming up? What is the meaning? Why are these people concerned about how? Methodology. They were concerned about methods. They wanted to know the manner in which it was done. You know, methodology can appeal to the sense of logic. But that was not what God Himself intended here. This is not what Jesus set out to do. If you read your Bible, in Luke chapter 1, you remember that an angel appeared to Zacharias. At the end of that short encounter, what was the question Zechariah asked? How can this be, since I am an old man? In chapter 2, sorry, that chapter 1, from verse 26, the angel appeared to Mary and said, you will be with child. And Mary asked, how can this be? It's a common tendency in humans to want to know how before it can be accepted. So the Jews here, the neighbors in verse 10, they asked, how? The Pharisees in verse 15, how? The Jews in verse 19, how? The parents didn't know the how. The Jews again wondered again, how? All of them were given to methods rather than the person who did it. And you know that we find a very interesting story. Very interesting story about how. Elsewhere in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 18 and 19, and chapter 19, verse 11 to 16, needless to bother you opening. But the Bible tells us about one man who saw the gift of the Holy Spirit administered to people upon the laying hands of the apostles. The Spirit of God will come upon people with manifestation. And the man offered money. Give me this thing too, so that when I find people are laying hands upon them, they will receive the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere in chapter 19, the Bible says that Paul and the others were given to healing and all manner of miracles. The seven sons of one priest, Sceva, went around and said, well, in the name of Jesus whom Paul is talking about, we cast you out. That is the how methodology. Rather than catch Jesus himself, some people are out imitating. And I find this also to be present in church today. I do not want to accuse other people, because that is not the concern really. But I've always told the story of this young man. You know, in the early 90s, there's this program that I used to hold at the IBB Square. 1993-94, it was held. And the preacher who came was fond of certain language of rhyme. And throughout that period, the young men who attended those programs, wherever they found themselves on the streets, would begin to imitate. To excuse yourself is to accuse yourself. And I said, what did you say? That the man of God said, to excuse yourself is to accuse yourself. I said, so what does that mean? He said, well, but that's what he said. And do you know that some of these young men developed that kind of mentality and that became their style? Aspire to inspire before you expire. And people shouted. I said, what did the man say? He said, aspire to inspire before you expire. I said, so what does this mean? Methodologies that have no place for manifesting Jesus, we can't take to such. These are lame efforts, lame approaches, and they can lead us to nowhere. The last tendency of our times, verse 14 and 16. Look at that, verse 14. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Sabbath. Verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. You can stop at that. What are we seeing? Religiosity, rituals. For these people, their concern was about observing the Sabbath rather than opening the eyes of a blind man. They were so religious and were given to rules of men rather than the Bible. I mean, rather than that which God came through his son Jesus to do in the lives of men. And Jesus used an unpopular method, saliva. And they took offense. Let me pause and ask you, are you really doing God's work? Are you really doing God's work? Is your life an expression in totality to this work? Quite a number imagine that until they carry their Bibles on the street, or as we are planning for evangelism in February, they imagine that that is the work of God. No. That is only one expression of it. God is looking for an occasion by which divine intervention in his creation will take place. It can be in your neighborhood. It can be in your compound. It can be in the course of travel. It can be in a regular activity. It can also be in church, because there are others who are yet to come to this saving knowledge. So I ask you, are you really doing the work of God? Let me conclude by reading Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Bible says, Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. I guess you are there. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than of Christ. What does this mean? What this means is that every human philosophy deprives God of the opportunity of intervention in a man's life. Human philosophies and traditions have the tendency of perverting the minds of men and leading them away from the truth of the gospel. Do you know that a lot of people are shallow-minded? They do not know the truth. They need to be told. God is depending on you. Remember yesterday, I said, in the end, the man at the center of this story is not even the blind man, but it's Jesus. At the end of it all, it's not even the blind man. Because I said again today that the blindness of this man only provided an opportunity for a divine intervention. And this may be all that God may be looking for. God may not necessarily be committed to bogus things that you want to do. You have been in church all your life. But let us ask, how well have men and women in your workplace come to know Jesus? Through your dressing, through your speech, through your attitude concerning work. How can God be honored and praised when people see you? 1,001 hindrances surround us. And if we do not call this to mind consciously, the traditions of our times will overwhelm us. I know there are a lot of people are so given to church traditions that when there appears to be a violation of ritual, they take offense. But when Jesus is mocked in the marketplace, they are not offended. They only laugh it off. Let's not be given to mere traditions. I said something that may appear to be an offense to constituted church understanding. I said For some of our church, NKST church members, if you put two boxes in church, label the first one NKST, label the second one Jesus, and ask people to line up, you know, in front of the two boxes, many will prefer to line up in front of the NKST box and not that of Jesus. Because they believe in NKST more than they believe in Jesus. And that is what we have today. I find a lot of my colleagues, pastors, who boast that Moke NKST Mluel Huntomi. Who told you? After all, who is even, in fact, who is NKST? Is it not all of us put together? I tell people that me, I'm not working for NKST. No. I'm working for God. NKST is a platform. Do you know that all of us seated here, if it was the Methodist church tradition that got to Sai in 1911, all of us would have been Methodists and with pride. But God, in his own wisdom, felt it should be a Reformed church that should access Steve Land. So I find people who forget about Jesus altogether and advance the NKST son hunger. How many of those people have ever told you that I want to song Kualaga? Every day we gather NKST Elena Hanga. But they will never tell you I want to Elena Hanga. No, it means there's something wrong. The traditions of men. Of course, when I say these things, I'm not condemning what we have. No. I am also a practitioner of all that exists as doctrine. But remember, in our passage, the common tendencies of the times were going to cut short that which God wanted to do. And if we advance in this work with such a mentality, we'll get nowhere. I spoke with the late Catholic Bishop of Makurdi Diocese many years ago, 1996. And he said something that I kept wondering. You know, I couldn't comprehend it. He said, Fred, we in the Catholic Church, when we get to a place, we first of all make the people Roman Catholics before we begin to teach them about Christ. And I asked him, my Lord, what does that mean? He gave a lot of explanations. But I find in the Bible a different principle. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. My dear brother, my dear sister, are you seated here today because of NKST or because of Jesus? Of course, when I say things like this, some may have the tendency to mix up and mistake what I'm saying. It's not a condemnation, but things must be put in their proper perspective. NKST exists because Jesus is. If there were no Jesus, of course, there would be no NKST. But the attention must first of all, with zeal, be given to Jesus. Because when we do, NKST can become a beneficiary. I've come to observe, and I say, when you find a Christian, whether believer or communicant member, and you hear him boast more of church tradition rather than Jesus, you know there's something wrong. And I mentioned it yesterday. Whether it's in the Roman Catholic Church, in the Protestant churches, or in the Pentecostals, it is the same thing. But rather than boast about common, simple, many things, let us boast about what God himself wants to do. And if we do this, you can be sure that this work would have been advanced. So this conference is going to provide us with a proper understanding so that when we go out of this place, in our homes, in our workplace, in the marketplace, in travels, in business, in politics, wherever you find yourself, you begin to see yourself in different light. Permit me once again to communicate with our other brethren, so that they can also follow. Hang on it. Shayangasine. Aka aluhindan. A tomu tato nenge. Apesu kimbi oru nyeake yohani tuki shaw tanka lu nyine. Sinenge aka atavi pishi. A yange nongu hindan. A tomu yesu yanso welenla. Ikave simba henen banhi de pine yesu mpine. Manim pine. Gema duwe ken yere. Iken kovla. Shachu yange vi najijie. Olokwa pile neshega. Olokwa kondo natoga. Olokwa ban yuantoga. Sa. Shachoke ayi shobyo. Na hami pine yika shobyo. Iwanjane yona. Shika shobyo ima mare naba. Mpine yelu mpine. Uwea yoro vega. Ba yelu kwa iyo olun. Kwa hami vekpa vi mungwa. Mansi kafse ken kof wasine kwa. Aka ipishi ya iwa olun kwa mi yobu mungu. Nganyo ratimave kishima ipishi. Kwa Kristu anongu hidenjima. Siva nyoshe ya ven. Ilu njaye yohimba na kwa olun uwa umachijiji. A mkane maon. Nampa Yesu tayuange kwa wune. Kashi obyo yonega. Yesu ya mvena kwa la. Shatu kakwa yange wenenge milaga. Tega Yesu ya mvena kwa la ola ku shibunda yon. Shatu yange une lumo ye kashi obyo na yao. Shatindu mba yuda ya my town ewe my war. Semba kampase. Kamom ken binda itomo ondulu yanchan. Ken kovu wasi jene. Shatu yoto. Mhen. Uo umache. Mbairi ntom. Ami. Kwa dondo nshami yo. If you pula. Biblo kave siye. Mba wando awo ne bapina. Kashanyi kwenda. Ay ihi na manulu nengena. Kanyi kwa ye manabuweshe. Yomba kelu nufant mjerine. Makuwa tato luwano. Ba yesi yona. Walu kwenda ukale nyoron ken tato mantomne yo. Kwa bave anaga. Namba wando awo ne kwa pina. Mba farishi kwa ashi pina. Mba yuda kwa ashi pina. Zanzan. Iti wa yila mba mare mba awo ne kwa pino. Vika eri hii valu nenge yo. Wewe faga. Mba kwa 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 yo. Ka eri hii ma awo ne alu nenge. Ilu kwa shonga. Mba ka un wabune shela kwa kwa anaya. Na yo undu kwa yesu. Yemba nengen shaka adu kengbelu nengen emila. Akala hamba nyoron yo keneshe. Ndane, ni faye. Ashe kishi. Nye, bemka nyenge ya yangi semlu lama ve wanjbamu gene. Shako bom kene duwa. Uchu sitza aduwa jili gene ya. Mba kuhwa gitaa kuwa shi keyboard. Ive ve shinjima. Na silu nengen evega. Na wanjbana pina kaiwe yomba shashima. Inambe hene ya idaveve shinjima. Na mamka anamwe ka bombulu kuhanga. Ka bomba kuhambara. Ka usuwe sawe ningi hitembi ningewe kenkenye. Na mampine me bombe adwe kuhanshin ta church na hal. Akla lukwa shonga. Mke walufa bombe. Nengwe benda we kuhang ka kuhang. Ya benda wka ivine lakwa ufaka. Ka iso ye yobu nenge. Me namo kraka kwa shonga. Kwa laka otesinye, yuwa to, aka abu fewe li ntomo mi, maingbinda yele ntomo kala, ive se hitembe, yesu yona ndi. Alu weka tomo tato ne bepesiye uyo. Alu benda u yesu avene, alu benda u se siva so, sive shamba mhen asega. Kwa dondo shami yo, ka ivyu po kalunyi, mampu trata, Mashi vyu kundu karanie ni mankarutan karunye. Mbafarishi, bajie, ningese. Kwa yesu wailu dido na bu oroshe, manga makasha yange imemen. Njene ya, yomba mchivile ondu veka tindi akuran, klaka mwa uo umachega. Kenko wasine kwa yopishi, mba hemba mkurana tindi. Atindi la hemba don. Mumbu, onyano gene sita matibu, ngamba benya, zashau davelin, mo yamlo pastor ne yikba katisma. shimna table. Now when patemake, mabe mi ama pare yo hide kikpe. Wune, hey, hey, enke sti yere na haga. Ba tem table kwa haga. Mpine mku, kama shi enke sti ya hi waron kwa la. Mpine ome nge kile tinde tamana hana. Wune, 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 na hayalu kwa bo. Mana shi epine. Njenia, no pastor kani na table hen shineza nakira kwa ni ya. Njena kai yeri ni yomache. Akala nyotima yokitio. Na yam kana me. Ki lahadi monshin ki wejimin. Alwe sin na tebu lahadi mo nyimbula. Se kwa kasi yave chi. Wune wu. Kape kane ye la. Njane. Yeri. Inongu vinse. Mhen. Manu chivre on. Ba ka ne chichachi yan bane shin suka sai adu ka ken fishi o shin ka ken ni o ba ko yesu yan ka wune ba po ne tom yesu ne za tom une tom u un we tindun la man shu ne kule u ken la e yan ni lu hena ngu ka me sa si mus to bibiro senyo mato si yem cha u za pasen ko ando man ilu tonga ki yawo ba onungu kele ye yan my bu umanye umatisegena always umase hingi yan is bu man yesu enyora tema e one e tomna ken uma ba yoruga yo simba vinji worun ko tomne makenje akwa we bu to ayo ve ko ando paga kove ninge ninge kenu umasi tse vikaye i via jina ha ili hive luna hane kwa angushame. Manifa yomba kentawa si pishi mba kenge shabe yo. Kaini ninge jefe via na ha unegba tumenshama kwa aga. Alu aye kwa na ha ya kwa angushame kakuwa ushame sechi si dondo. Kakuwa onewe kita akela kwa ninge. Yomba gene ayileve celebrities. Celebrities. Kabe hundo hundo tio, shabunda obu hundo la mauni ngi obu dondo. Celebrities magene makase, alu ebe kange tio, magbunda ongu na unenge, kigiri, kasewe hiu kange tio, shachunye, vinenge kwa lasha TV. Alu ebe huwa chondo, kakase, manatumba, tenki uwa ya unenge, kwenanje unenge mbeye kasewe kwa lasha chunye, kakwa celebrity. Ye, bili mojo kai yile yika model. Ba na ko la jiji hegem ka mimi ka model model umbala ba ola na lo model vela semba gen ka model wasiga na sarme kenim ko hone aondo abuse sema unenken se tomus lu suen kwa una hi yo ka mo yem chaga bangu avese chao yase pesi yaren tion pesi duen kaswa pesi lu yem enjendela. Si ben hela yo, si de si nengi shaka a yangin tomne. Uwelin u manshi, na u yanu umene tam. Alwe si dondo, benda wamba genve dondo, ne, shamba ampine yo. Kwe kwa nzu se, si ta wze nari poti hene ondo. E yamba genve rakwa ta, bata nan la yesu epine, ne dika onyo, ma yangin guwe fanega. Mombo ken bibiro. Bem kaken se kariya choki sha utanka loha yombla tindi eja ja pine profoti eja ja pine yo bebe yele nimsen be holon kwa yan he ebe ekpira nyomne na han shini mada pine yo a on the car profoti ye hide ja pine ve yo kene nyoma kunde tagbe a no lo holon kwa yan van sha shi yan kachi wamne lo len kwa la ye kala kachi wona yorenga. Don't see this nigga. Tom Usilwele Masikase Kashachi Wando. Sibwe yanchan kumenyusa. Yanchan kumenyusa. Bagemba vihinyare. Bagemba vihinshieve. Kame vihinshieve shachu. Shio mabuluwele ne kagene vangwe mtsirala. Videkala. Mamtsirave sa yoho. Sa she. Shachu tomne. Amen.